Σε κάτι τον παρά, έκοπια αν μόζο μάι μόγα τσο Ιωκάρα, ο Φρέγκι Φερνάντες, Μέλμπεν, Οστρέλια σε τον καν Ιωκούν και ο Κομπρό κόκνη κλέν πάω ήταν, αγιουνάτσι τσο δάταρι. Σουρβάτε κόμπορ, κόν και Γκόα Μέντικαλ Κόλεγ Χαγκασόν. Γελία Σομανάν, Μόντρι, Βισουαγιτ Ράνι, ανή Γκόα Μέντικαλ Κόλεγ, ασό, Chief Medical Officer, Δότορ, Χατσαμάδε Κέσταν Πέτλε, ανή Χακάς Λαγούν Γκόιαν, Μπορπουρ Βάδ Βιβάτ Σουρουζαλό. आणि हकाच लागून हंगाच्या दोतरांनी स्ट्रायकाक वयतामून धमकी दिली. ऐकात मंत्री विश्वजीत राणे हाणें दोतराक कशे बेकडायले ते.
एका सस्पेन्शन ऑर्डर करा, किक हिम आउट फ्रॉम हियर. दिस डॉक्टर डोंट अंडरस्टँड, अनलेस अनलेस यू अंडरस्टँड यू आर हियर टू सर्व ह्युमॅनिटी, यू आर नॉट हियर विथ अ ब्लडी इगो. आय सेड, आय एम टेलिंग यू व्हॉट आय एम सेइंग, यू आर नॉट ऑथराइज्ड टू स्पीक व्हेन आय एम स्पीकिंग, यू प्लीज गो. दूसरा सीएमओ गला, I'll issue the note for suspension. You get out from here. That's it. Out from here. And don't report back, because as long as you're in me, not in you. You're a doctor to serve the poor people here. I am suspending you. When the inquiry is initiated, you give your explanation. Eka suspension, Eka, I want him relieved right now from here. Ask him to get out from here. Asha, how Aparta, Ekdam Naram. And German, I am telling you, you listen. Go home. Go home. You can go home. They let the residents and senior residents man. You go home. I am telling you to go home.
Nobody
can. I am telling you to go home. Eka gara vachan din aale security gurun bhai martano tuka. Eka bahir ka rakhacha. As the MS, please see that he doesn't, he is not here on duty today. Send him home just now.
Acha uprant pura deshant dotarani goincha Goa Medical College acha dotaran teko dilo. डिमांड करपाक मंत्री विश्वजीत राणे हाणें चीफ मेडिकल ऑफिसर हाका माफी दिवची म्हूण, पूण तें जाल्लें ना. आनी गोंयचो मुखेलमंत्री प्रमोद सावंत हो मोदे पडलो ह्या दोतोराक आनी मंत्री हाच्या मोदे शांतीकाय हाडपाक आनी दोतोराची माफी मागली.
सात डिमांड दवरले, ते सात डिमांड जे आहा तेजे डिटेलान म्हणजे डिटेलान डिस्कशन जाल्या उपरांत ओके तेजे सातूय डिमांड तशे पास केले. इन्क्लुडींग आमच्या म्हणटा की व्हिडिओग्राफी फोटोग्राफी अलावड करप ना, किंवा इन फ्युचर तांकां प्रोटेक्शना खातीर नवीन PSI अपॉइंट करप हॉट पोस्टाचे, आणि बाकीचे पुलीस फोर्स एडिशनल 50 पुलीस फोर्स दिवप, आणि अशा पद्धतीने जो इन्सिडंट झाला त्या पद्धतीचे इन्सिडंट इन फ्युचर करून एका केन्ना गावतली हे त्यांचं डिमांड आशिल्लो. ते इन्क्लुडींग देर विजिलन्स कमिटी विच इज नाव हेडेड बाय द सेक्रेटरी हेल्थ Dean of Goa Medical College, MS from Medical College, and the HOD member of that concerned department, Dali Kiridala, and the concerned protocol they are suffering, as they are followed by witness. They are actually considered to Tanjali Madhutra Manjun, star doctors, Pakistan faculty doctors, and the other consultants, and Jata meeting down. Tanjali was strike, call off Karpato Tarela.
Hey, Bhaktin, Mudri Vishwajit Rani Hacher. पोलीस स्टेशन हाचेर कंप्लेंट बी रजिस्टर केल्ली आसा, सांगता एडवोकेट सियोला वा.
ऑल द टाइम वी सी दॅट देर आर मेनी डॉक्टर्स, नर्सेस एन्ड अदर मेडिकल प्रोफेशनल्स हू आर असॉल्टेड एन्ड अब्यूज्ड एन्ड इन्सल्टेड बाय VIPs. So there is an act which has been specifically brought into this into the foray, and incidentally by the same government in 2013, and we are now seeking to invoke that act, section 3 and section 4. This is an act which prohibits violence against doctors. In our particular case, doctor has been insulted verbally, has been insulted with bad words, and that also in public, humiliated. His professionality has come into question, and there were at least 20 to 30 people in that room. This means, and also there is a premeditation, because only and only on a mere WhatsApp tip, the person has come in, the accused person has come in, has used his, some people use muscle, some people use guns, some people use political power. He has used his political power to wreak personal vengeance. And then he has gone on, because his VIP person did not get good and proper treatment, got proper treatment but did not get good treatment. So because of that, as a revenge or something like that, he has come and he has thrown all abuses at our doctor. So this is not permitted under the law.
Sri Kabar, Old Goasan. Going to BJP Sarkar. ओल्ड गोवा वर्ल्ड हेरिटेज जाग्यार एक दोन माळेचे पोलीस स्टेशन हांगा बांदपाक प्लॅन करता, हाचेर सेव ओल्ड गोवा फ्रंट हाणें विरोध मांडला. आमच्या माणकुल्या गोंयांत न्याय मेळोवपाक भरपूर कठीण, अदीक करून पुलिसिंग, प्रिझन्स, ज्युडिशरी आनी लिगल एड ह्या बाबतींत. हालींच जाहीर जाल्लो एक इंडियन जस्टीस रिपोर्ट 2025 हाचे प्रमाणें माणकुल्या गोंयांत वर्स्ट परफॉर्मिंग म्हूण कळोन आयलां. हाचेर जरी बदल हाडटलो जाल्यार गोंय सरकाराक कांय म्हत्वाचे विशय हाचेर नदर मारची चड गरज, सांगता आदलो डिस्ट्रिक्ट सेशन जज सायनोरा टेलिस लाड.
गोवा कॅन इम्प्रूव्ह इट्स जस्टिस डिलिव्हरी सिस्टम थ्रू बेटर इन्फ्रास्ट्रक्चर, टेक्नॉलॉजिकल अडॉप्शन, व्हर्च्युअल कोर्टरूम्स, डिजिटल केस मॅनेजमेंट to streamline processes, reduce delays and improve accessibility for persons with disabilities and others as well. It is crucial to create an inclusive and accessible justice system. Well, the District and Sessions Court in Mauritius, North Goa, which was recently inaugurated on October 19, 2024, has virtual courtrooms with digital facilities, digital case management and e-seva kendra, e-filing systems. It is also user-friendly for persons with disabilities, having ramps, accessible washroom and braille script on signboards. The Honorable High Court of Bombay at Goa has the same features. The new building which is under construction for the District and Sessions Court in Margao, South Goa, would have the same features. The taluka courts are also being updated. Promoting alternative dispute resolution mechanisms can lead to faster and cost-effective resolution of disputes. There should be dedicated spaces for lok adalat, mediation, arbitration to create a conducive environment for facilitating settlement and speedy disposal of cases. The focus should be on strengthening legal aid services by ensuring timely and quality services by the legal aid institutions, advocates, so that no marginalized or needy person is denied justice due to financial constraints.
Deo bore koru tuka adlo district and session judge Sainora Telislad tu yan pa tuja moladik veel dilo mun. तर आयकुप्यानो ह्यो जावन आसले आमचे सुसेगाद दनपार गोंयच्यो खबरो कोंकणीतल्यान. मेळुया दुसऱ्या सोमानात, ते मेरेन मोग आसंदी.
केदना तरी सेजारा जाल्यार काजारा सगळी आमची पाठ लांबा पावत आजच्या घरा बाबा काजार झाले सांगचे की ते सगळे पियून टाईट रे चालले आमच्या वकलां घेऊन सगळे डान्स मारताले निसार करून गेल्या कामकाम वाणांनी मारले आदल्या वर्सा आमचे बाबा काजार झाले सांगचे की ते सगळे पियून टाईट रे चालले आमच्या वकलां घेऊन सगळे डान्स मारताले करून गेल्या कामकाम वाणांनी मारले आम्ही दोघी शेजारा बेताव काजारा बायल भुरगी ती रोसा गेली येऊ ना ते दरा गेल ना तरी शेजारा जाल्यार काजारा सगळी आमची पाठ लांबा भाव बेता त्या घरा
माया मोगाचो येवकार सर्व आयकतल्यांक सुशेगातान पार कोंकणी प्रोग्रामांतलो आमी वो प्रोग्राम 104.0 प्लॅनेट एफ एम ओवरदान ब्रॉडकास्ट करता म्हज्या सांगात आज आसा स्टुडिओंत हॅक्टर बाब शैलाबाय आनी म्हजो इश्ट जर्वीस आमकां सर्वांक एक उर्बा आसता आमची गार्डन आमचे लॉन्स आमची घरां बरी सोबूंक आनी ते सोबोवन आमी थोडीं फुलां ग्रो करता थोडीं फ्रुट्स ग्रो करता थोडी श्रबरी ग्रो करता तरी आमचे घर सोबीत दिसो हॅक्टर बाबाक एक बारीक गुरबा आसा हर एका वर्सा वॉटरमेलन ग्रो करची ताचे गार्डन बारी सोबीत आसा ताणें मस्तू वावर केल्या पण ह्या हर एका वर्सा त्या वॉटरमेलन ते ग्रो करता तो ताची कशी पाल पोस करता तो कसो तो ग्रो करता आनी ताच्या उपरांत कशी त्याच्या घरांत एक व्हडली पार्टी जाता वॉटरमेलन पार्टी म्हणून भुरग्यांक आपोवन ताणें भुरग्यांक सांगचे ती वॉटरमेलन कशें ग्रो करता हॉर्टिकल्चरा वयर क्विज करता ताचे वयरदान इल्लें आमी आयकया
Every March we have a watermelon party and this year we celebrated our 7th watermelon party. It's here in Auckland, New Zealand, which sits on the 36th parallel south of the equator. The actual preparation starts 6 months in advance in October when I prepare the garden beds chiefly by adding a lot of organic matter into the soil to make it a nice free-draining crumb structure with a lot of nutrients. Then after that, in November, December, I plant the watermelon seedlings and look after them and nurture them, inspecting them every now and again for signs of any diseases or pests, and also to protect the plant from adverse climatic conditions. I plant about 6 seedlings because typically you get about 2 watermelons per plant. I have to ensure that I get at least 1 good-sized watermelon for the party in March. From my experience over the years, I've noticed that the watermelon, which is the best and the ripest and the tastiest, is the one which is harvested 60 days from the date of pollination of the female flower. Often, there are not many bees around, so I have to become the bee. So the female flower is fertile only for a few hours on a particular day. When I knew that this flower was going to open out, I used to leave office and come home. And with my wife's makeup brush, I used to go there and take out the male flower, kind of dust out the pollen onto the female flower. When a little watermelon after about 2 days just poop, you can definitely know that it has been successfully pollinated. So 60 days after that is the date for harvesting the watermelon. The children and the young adults prepare a lot of flyers and decorations. And on the day itself, everybody gathers. And then the children wait for the time when they are let loose into the gardening beds. And then they choose the biggest watermelon. And they enjoy holding it and carrying it to the table where the cutting ceremony is going to take place. music plays up, there's pin drop silence except for the music. And as the music reaches a crescendo, the knife cuts through the watermelon, revealing it in all its splendor. Actually, there's a lot of suspense which goes into it, and I guess I try to create a bit of a song and dance around it just to add that theatrical atmosphere. And I myself can't look at it, but I wait for that sound. Wow, ooh, and ah, and all that. And it's so good to see. And then everybody gets a slice. And as they bite their teeth into it, they say, oh my gosh, this is the most delicious watermelon. I just wait to hear that. And it's a big joy to hear that. Everybody's happy and joyful. And the kids, with all that sugar rush energy, they run around and play games and all. Then we wait. We have a little bit of food, which is prepared by my wife. There are quizzes on a horticultural tree. And then someone gives a talk on an environmental subject. And people share their own home gardening experiences. It's an event which has become much looked forward to. And I guess there's not much else that can beat a juicy, red, delicious watermelon on a hot summer's day.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Hector. That was fantastic.
Richard, that
Deo
was a surprise.
Deo Barengaru. Deo Barengaru. Shaila, tujhe gade kaya saagi, tujhe garden na vishen tu sangong.
No, I'm just completely inspired by that. That was amazing. Well done, Hector.
Oh, thank
Such
you.
Such a wonderful story. Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah, actually, full credit to Deborah Tay. She's from Eco Matters.
Ah, yeah.
She did this video, and I was terribly nervous, to speak like that, but she put me at ease. And she said, just speak. And then she asked questions. And the editing is brilliant.
I think Hector...
I just, only the narration was mine.
Yeah. But Hector, you should socialize that video to a larger set of audience.
It's definitely the content around it. I it's amazing to take something as simple as just growing, like you said. I do try. But growing something and turning it into such an experience for... I can imagine the kids that come to that.
Oh, yeah.
For their life, that will be a memory of engaging with amazing
thing. And just to share with you, the good thing about it, and which has inspired me and encouraged me to do it, it's the kids, of course, but even their parents
adults.
Look forward to it so much.
Amazing.
What about you, Jervis? Do you engage in any gardening activity, or do you grow anything? And what's your experience? What's your moment of joy and happiness with gardening?
Yeah, first I want to ask Hector, actually, does he believe that this green thumb, so to speak, is actually a fact, or it's not really? Anybody can be a decent gardener, or only certain people?
No, I don't think so. But some people have a kind of gift, just like in any activity. They just kind of have a natural gift, but I think it's overplayed. There's no such thing as a gift. Trial and error, you will, maybe someone has succeeded at the first attempt, and there is a lot of research which to the successful gardeners which goes into it and then does it, and you have to have a kind of inborn interest.
Because I know someone for years now, they do everything right as far as planting and everything goes, but they don't put any water. So I'm like, how can it work if you don't put water? So I think come around after a few, days or weeks or whatever, and I look at it and say, it's totally dry, so the person hasn't been putting water. So the first thing I think we have to remind people, put water, otherwise it's not going to grow. From my experience, it's something really enthralling, doing something like this. And I think almost everybody, like when they see some good gardening going around, they're like, oh my God, this is fantastic. And people have so much of like emotion about it. When I came here to Auckland many years ago, I didn't know you could grow certain things here, like this in Kadipatta, you know, was never a thing that used to grow here. But now I think everybody knows how to do it. Not everyone, but some, most people. I'm actually looking at Shaila. So
yeah, yeah, oh, absolutely. I'm still in the trial category.
But what's also interesting to know is some things that grow in Auckland, they will think taste totally different from what's all around the world. Exactly. I'm actually talking about the Elshi banana, little banana. If you grow it here and you grow it very well and successfully, sometimes it comes during a time when you have to keep it for a long time on the tree. But ultimately, when you harvest it and eat it, oh my God, it's so sweet, I tell you, so sweet.
Yeah.
But I think to answer your question, do you have to have a green thumb or not a green thumb, you should be a follower of Saint Anthony. Because
Saint Francis, sorry.
Got it wrong. Because yesterday was Saint Anthony's feast, so I thought.
Maybe Saint Anthony. So,
as somebody said, you know, that if you're a follower of Saint Francis, then possibly you'll get a bigger green thumb. Because he's
ardent follower.
He's an, what do you call it?
Third
order of Franciscans. So therefore, he's a bit blessed than you.
No.
I definitely think that there's this, like you, I was interesting that question that you asked about a green thumb. And to me, yes, it's an interest, but it's the interest in understanding, knowing, and kind of engaging with. Yeah. And everyone who has the ability to, if you're not interested in it, you don't do that. So I do have great success with courgettes.
Oh.
My absolute pride and joy. I can get like 30 or 35 courgettes out of a plant.
Wow. Out of one plant?
Yeah, yeah.
That is amazing.
I've done it 3-4 years in a row. Enjoy that whole process of watching. I know exactly when to pollinate. I've not had so much success with some. So I guess it's that, you know, when the minute you have that connection, you see success, you get more involved, you know how to propagate it. Some others, like lettuce, requires a little more effort to get me interested. You know, the courgettes.
I think it's more of patience. You know, people need to accept the fact that there is a natural way of those plants growing.
You can't rush it.
It is not like you can put in steroids or put in more fertilizers and it will grow. But there is a natural process, as Hector says, that his whole preparatory work starts somewhere in November so that he can, you know, harvest it somewhere in March. So it takes a 6 months time. And he has to constantly watch over those pollinations, look at those plants. And he's got some very nasty birds that come to him. Who come and, you know, pluck away some of the stuff. So
pests and diseases are such a menace, because you see your watermelon, other fruit growing so well, and you're looking forward, and then next morning you come and
it's all gone.
Destroyed.
Yes.
Or could be a fungus which has attacked the
plant. So what do you have growing right now in your gardens? Like right now, fruiting?
Right now there are mandarins which are fruiting and some cabbage, these brassicas.
Okay.
So any vegetable which does not produce a fruit, which is a leafy vegetable, grows it can tolerate the cold.
What about you, Richard?
Mandarins are in plenty. So I've plucked a few and made juice out of it because nobody's there to eat.
No.
So I kept it in a bottle to be mixed with a little bit of, because it's quite thick, the juice. I've got Chinese cabbage growing.
Nice. Okay.
And surprisingly, as you say, very surprisingly, you know, we use natural compost.
Yeah.
We use our own veggie clippings, etc., and make a compost out of it. So, out of that compost, some tomato plants have grown in some places, and those tomatoes are quite big. And
what?
Very big.
You're growing tomatoes now?
Yeah, it's growing, still growing.
Amazing.
And you know, you remember, Hector, we went to Matakana and you asked us to pick up a tomato plant.
Yeah.
It is perennial, man. It is still fruiting. It is amazing. It is still fruiting. And then I've got chilies still giving me chilies.
I've got chilies, by the way.
What about you, Chervis? Do you have anything fruit
in all what you guys said, chilies and limes and say mandarins and oranges. I think everybody has that now.
So I cut mandarins. I can't say that I do anything. That's one of those magical green thumb things because I planted it, it does its thing, and I just have to. But I also, 2 years ago, decided to get a pawpaw because I have a great love for papaya. And since you don't get papaya the way we know it, I picked up this pawpaw plant, put it in a large pot, and it's been sitting there for 2 years. But right now I have a baby pawpaw.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
It's not logical because I thought it would be a summer. I thought it needs heat, but it's doing well in the winter and in the rain and in the wind, and it's just sitting there. This one little pawpaw, it's completely green, so I'm just waiting to see what happens.
Oh, I got a moment over there. I don't know who knows about this, but I thought that sick pawpaw is annual, so it only gives once a year.
I thought it dies in the summer. No, I don't know that it dies.
No, meaning it once, if you have a pawpaw, it'll grow, it'll give you the papayas or whatever, and that's it. It's gone.
Oh, really? Well,
it's
we
dead.
Should see after mine is done.
Okay. You won't be able to get it
propagated again
next year.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay. We'll have a debate on that.
Okay, but if it's the same family as papaya, and papaya keeps on giving.
Growing.
So, but I don't know about pawpaw.
Interesting.
Okay. So let's listen to this song by Sounds from Goa, and we can then debate when
pick up the conversation on the popo.
A praia estava deserta, e o sol surgiu lá no céu, e eu contente cantava pra você, Maria Isabel. A praia estava deserta, e o sol surgiu lá no céu, e eu contente cantava pra você, Maria Isabel. Pega na esteira o seu chapéu, vamos à praia que o sol já vem. Pega na esteira o seu chapéu, vamos à praia que o sol já vem. Tiribiribim, papapá, 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 tiribiribim, papapá. Na areia escrevi o teu nome, mas logo eu o apaguei, com medo que alguém pisasse o teu nome, Maria Isabel. Na areia escrevi o teu nome, e logo eu apaguei, com medo que alguém pisasse o teu nome, Maria Isabel. Pega na esteira o teu chapéu, vamos à praia que o sol já vem. Pega na esteira o teu chapéu, vamos à praia que o sol já vem. Tiribiribim, papapá, 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 tiribiribim, papapá. Olê, mulher rendeira, olê, mulher renda. Thank you.
Olé, mulher rendeira. Olé, mulher rendeira. Olé, mulher rendeira. Olé, mulher rendeira. Tu me ensinas a fazer renda e eu te ensino a namorar. Tu me ensinas a fazer renda e eu te ensino a namorar.
Kami ay kata sushakat dan par Konkani radio program exchange 4.0 planet FM await mujhe sangata jasa Shaila bhai Hector Bab ani muzo east
Chavis
thode bodi naam uda se na there is a huge gap between the brain and the tongue. Hey Chavis, question for you. You before the break you were asking us, you know, how many of us consume the fruits and the veggies and various other things that we grow in our gardens. What's your take on that?
My opinion, I haven't looked at Google, but it should be quite high. It's about nearly 50% or 60% of the fruits and vegetables here in Auckland or New Zealand go to waste.
I would tend to agree.
I would tend to agree.
It's very sad.
Yeah, like you agree. See, you definitely see it with the citrus trees. Like you just pass people's gardens, the trees are laden, and just you know, nobody really plucks them.
People are very lazy, very very lazy. Yeah.
But I can't say lazy. I've got a Titian lime tree. I mean, you get about 15 or 20 kilos of lime. What do you do with it? Yeah? I can't be putting pickle. I distribute it. I keep it in the doorstep, so nobody picks it up.
Have a plan actually. I was thinking also what the other day I made something with Singh Kafir lime. Normally nobody has Singh Kafir lime, but Kafir lime and the Singh ginger and tea, it goes so well. So you can make like, you know, the Singh concentrate and
so
keep it in the fridge.
Yeah, but I do think that the produce, like a crop, even one tree, my logic is that that crop is too much for one family to consume, and that's where the problem is. Is that so? You have to actually. You're right. You have to have a plan of you know, when I get limes, then what am I going to do with them? Either you distribute, or what a lot of other people do is go to the farmers' markets, because that's the whole point of the farmers' market, right? When you have enough, or you're actually actively growing things to then then go and sell.
What I would say is, bring back that old style which we used to have back home in India, right? Or Mumbai or Goa, where people used to decide that they will all get together and they will make something in a large quantity.
Good point. Good point. Just changing tracks. You know, nature has given us such wonderful things and we are enjoying them. Okay? And we live in a fantastic country where we don't have to be so much concerned. But of late, we are seeing a huge wave across the world where humanity and tragedy seem to be walking hand in hand. And, you know, the humanity seems to be virtually dead or non-existent, and tragedies seem to be piling. What is your thinking on that?
Okay, my opinion is that what's happened is that people have not been teaching humanity, maybe in the schools or at home, and somehow it's not like ingrained, you know, into people. So maybe we need to bring it back. I think in our days, remember, we used to have something in school known as
moral science.
Yeah, religion and moral science. Also, you have to be very careful what you try to teach people, because I can tell you in our church, currently we are talking about Saul and David, you know, and it's what is happening now in Israel, you know. And people are saying, why are you teaching this in the church, with what's the thing going on now? What are people supposed to take from it? Because it's totally going, you know, against humanity. So why even talk about it?
You know, there is a book by Salman Rushdie called Victory City. And this is the reflections of his main character, of human nature. His main character's name is Pampa Campana. And this is what he says about reality today. Anyway, it is good to learn that over there is not so very unlike over here, and that human intelligence and human stupidity, as well as human nature, the best and the worst of it, are the great constant in a changing world. So, though we say that we are living in a fantastic place, just before the program, I and Shaila were talking something on the corporate
fallacy.
World.
I don't believe that the world is any different than it's been for the last 2,000 years. Really.
We find this, you know, this whole behavior of human nature is quite different than what we thought it was, you know, and what we felt or experienced it was in our youth days. It is brutal, as what we see in the Middle East. It is insensitive, as what we saw in India. And tragedies like Air India really brings back to mind, hey, this life can go in a jiffy like this.
So brutality is about survival. Insensitivity is about trying to control the space that you're in, because there are things that you can't control. But to your point, I don't know if the teaching is not happening, or that we have somehow moved from a macro vision of the world to a micro vision of the world. So it's really very much about me, my. The minute people have a macro vision of that life is bigger than you and me, bigger than history, bigger than culture and race and politics and what has happened and what will happen, is when then you plug into your higher values. You can't plug into a higher value if you're thinking about yourself. That's where brutality comes out.
And mind you, these are happening in, you know, so-called Christian countries.
Abrahamic countries, basically.
Abrahamic countries. It's quite disturbing.
It's
very, very disturbing. These very countries, which were founded on the principles of Christianity, equality, love, sharing, caring, are now suddenly become very, very brutal.
I think we all come from India, right? And we knew that when we started going to school, we were asked all the time, you know, to write down on a, you know, what's our religion, what's our caste, what's our subcaste. In fact, the school which I went to, at least, I don't know about you guys, they actually laid down that to us and trying to tell us that everybody is different. And we grew up like that, to think that everybody is different. And I think that stems from the fact that because we think people are different, they can be attacked, they can be ridiculed, they can be persecuted, they can be saying, you know, racism against them. It's very hard, I know, to understand, but everybody's the same, you know. We all come from Abraham or come from Adam, you know. So we should look at it like that. But I don't think, you know, the world is like that. Everybody thinks that everybody is totally different. Yeah.
Because I'm looking at the war between Russia and Ukraine. Both part of the same bloc some time back. Both belong to the Orthodox Church. Nothing different. So I'm just finding it hard to believe. I mean, is it that the Orthodox Church in Ukraine is different from the Orthodox Church?
You know what I find hard to believe is if you take religion out of it and that kind of thing as a purely business or a secular thought, right? We are all, as you put just now, we believe we've ascended to a better place in history. We're more educated, we're more strategic, we're all you know, that kind of thing. We all should hopefully understand, you know, when the process of a certain action has a certain reaction, and that's what strategy is about, right? So if you take everything aside, the leaders of the world should know that if I do this, this is going to be the outcome, right? So if you want a certain outcome, and you know it's completely unachievable through violence. There's so many other ways of, you know, you've heard of coercion, manipulation, there's all sorts of things. How is that they don't try something else and they all resort to that? Then tells me that we're still where we are 2,000 years ago. It's all ego driven.
Yeah,
it's bravado.
And in these places, as you say, I just sometimes wonder, supposing there was a leader other than Putin, would they have gone to war? Or look at America. Till before Trump, it was different.
Yeah.
Or you look at Israel, before Netanyahu, there was
Netanyahu,
someone.
Yeah.
Or India, for that matter. So, is it, or Hitler for that matter, you know, so does it all revolve around a very powerful person?
Does it all revolve around one person? So that's what I've been debating
so
with my
strong
family. Yeah.
In his this, that he is able to sway a full country to his thinking.
So that's a good one. Is it charisma? Is it charisma that gets these people to sway others? Or is it manipulation of a sort? Why is that an entire country allows one human being to
do it? So let me take an example. Okay, Singapore. Now, Singapore has had their leader for the last 30 or 40 years, the same family ruling, and it is like a virtually a dynasty rule, though they say it's a democratic country. Now,
it's considered a benevolent dictator, right? It's considered a benevolent dictator.
Yeah, so it's quite different. Or you take some of the Middle Eastern countries, like you take Dubai, or United Arab Emirates, or you take Qatar. Or it's quite different. So I'm just trying to understand, you know, is it the charisma? Is it the nature of people, or is it just the sheer power that drives the people to behave in that manner?
I don't know. The answer eludes me.
So let's get down to the micro level, starting with Jervis. Let's get down to micro level. Okay, lifestyle and family relationships. I'll just leave the thought with you. We'll break for a song, but I'll leave the thought with you, is that if at the macro level you have leaders who are strong and drive you, in family relationship, do you think that the man of the house or the woman of the house need to sort of put their foot down and drive the way the family runs, or adopt a much more participative approach? Let's listen to a song and then come back to this.
पादरी विकारी संतुल खोबारी पाय माय साली मुनुन काजारी पोडन मोगारी आता हाँ की तक रागारी मोत करूं बेजारी एक टाइम जाऊं बेसाऊं खेम करिया कंतारी रोज लिन मुझे मौका चे सोबित बंगड़ के साचे सोईतन दिस्ता सोगलेंते किरणार सूर्या चे
तुम्ही ऐकत आहात सुशेगात दनपार कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्राम 104.0 प्लॅनेट एफ एम ऑवर. म्हणजे सांगत असा जर्विस हेक्टर बाब आणि शैला बाय ब्रेकच्या पहिल्या आम्ही जर्विस आखी सारले यु नो ॲट द मॅक्रो लेवल ॲट द हायेस्ट लेवल इन द कंट्री यू हॅव अ व्हेरी डॉमिनेटिंग कॅरेक्टर इन द प्रेसिडेंट ऑर द प्राईम मिनिस्टर ऑर अ लीडर हु सेट्स द टोन ऑर द एजेंडा फॉर द कंट्री and everybody follows. We have also been through an era of family relationships where the man of the house made all decisions and decided, hey, this is what it is, and sets the agenda. We today are in an era which is fairly liberal, which is fairly open. And how is it working at our home level? Is the man still decides? Is it a participatory activity we decide together, husband and wife? Or we say decide together, husband, wife and children, if there are any. And I don't know if there are pets, what you all do. What's your view, Jervis?
Yeah, I would think I still believe that the husband or the should be the leader of the house. It was traditionally done, and I still think it'll work for today's kind of lifestyle. There have been so many instances where the women has tried to wear the pants in the house, and it's quite disastrous. And if you talk to most people, you will say that I guess almost the same 80 to 90% of the people will agree that the woman has come in and somehow down the line has tried to take the same charge. And sometimes, I mean, you can see in
certain...
I will actually give you an example. At least in some cases, my wife at least will say that, you know this and you should actually do this. For example, the same car. If you want to buy a car, if you want to maintain the car, if it has to be repaired, this normal job is always of the husband, because she says that if she goes there, they will take her for a ride, right? So in that
test
matter,
drive, you mean?
Pardon?
For a test drive?
No, not test drive. They will.
I'm joking.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's very important, and that we agree on. But let's take another thing in our house about the health of the family. That means what we eat and what we exercise and do. She tries to do that, but she can't really do it. So that's an example of where it works and where it doesn't work.
Yeah.
What about you, Hector? What's your view? I'm not saying what happens in your family.
But I think the lady of the house, if you compare earlier, what you were saying earlier, it was the father, the man of the house. But it's more financial independence. So earlier it was the breadwinner was the man, so he had more clout. But nowadays, the woman is, the lady is also earning, so she will definitely like to express her opinion also, because she has that financial independence. So I think that is an important factor in how things are changing, and therefore, one has to be cognizant of that. So, and it's good that there is a participative thing and all that, like... For example, the lady of the house will give the man authority to decide, okay, should Iran have nuclear weapons or not? But if you want the color of the curtains, I decide on which school the children should go to. I decide. You can decide all those other things like world affairs.
Interesting. Interesting opinions. Strong opinions. I definitely think there's no other way but a participative way for anything in life, family, work, otherwise, because historically, I think men had the voice simply because you're right, because it was not just being a breadwinner, it was also the culture of, because they were breadwinners, they were the people that were educated, they were people the people that were supported, and women naturally had a lesser role because they were not breadwinners, they were not educated, they were not. But just the concept of, so I struggle with that concept of, I know everything and I know what's best, and therefore I make decisions, because to me, any human being who thinks they know enough to decide for other people is a seriously flawed human being. I don't think there's anyone in the world, man or woman or otherwise, who can say that I'm the leader and therefore I control. And you have to be participative, because you can never have the perspective that for everyone else in the room.
So, you know, Shaila, I think this topic is, it'll be much more clearer if you can actually take an example.
Sure.
So obviously, like in the house, some decisions should be taken by the same man, and maybe some decisions should be taken by the woman. I'll put my hands up and say, I would never take a decision about what curtains to buy. That would definitely be my wife. Or what to say, color to paint the walls, you know. I've got a totally different opinion for my wife as far as these two things go. But I think what's the thing I'm actually danger is that if she tries to do something that she doesn't have any knowledge about, or her concept is totally different. So maybe dietitians, maybe talking about diet and food.
How are you defining the concept? Because you're defining it slightly different than I am. So
yeah.
To me, decision making is not about who makes the decision, but about making a decision together. So in any situation, you always have two people with two different levels of knowledge. But the decision can be joint if the two people are having a conversation. And so in our house, for example, color of the curtains, color of the walls, what we eat for dinner, when we invite people, almost everything will be, oh, this is what I'm doing, what do you think? And we butt yeah. heads all the time. There's things about you're right and I'm wrong. But I can't think of anything. Kids' school, even politics, we have robust debates with the TV and ourselves, is always, this is what I think, and why do you think that? But it's always two opinions, and some very often we agree to disagree, but it's always
yeah.
both opinions. So the decision never lies only on one person.
Yeah. Another very important decision, like which we took about 20 years ago, should we migrate?
Mm.
Where should we go? That's, you know, it can't work by one person saying, okay, we'll go. We'll leave India and go somewhere else. It was a participative decision. The original thought may have come from husband or wife. Why don't we go?
Yeah, but it ends up being a conversation.
I can say for that one, when we came here in 2002, it was totally my decision.
Okay.
And the reason being was...
The original decision.
The original decision. And ultimately, when we got our visa to come here, I put my foot down and said that we have to go. Okay. That's what it is. Because in those days, we had a very bad incident that happened in Gujarat, in Godhra. And I used to be in... I was working in that area. And I said, no, I'm not going to stand for this, because it has been going on for... so long. I took the decision and said, we are going.
So, yes, here's my question. I'm not going to add
incidentally, Jervis, that was exactly what triggered the thought in my mind. I said, a government which is committing genocide against its own people, It's unacceptable.
So I will not add my two bits create more confusion. Yeah, short of time.
Harriet's listening to the show this afternoon.
No, she's not listening. but I'll add my two bits. This is to you, Jervis, as well as to you, Shaila, because you all are at the different ends of the spectrum. What if you don't have the knowledge? What if you don't know about that subject? What happens? Who takes the call? Is it a collective call? Or is it, let's go to the referee who is the neighbor? Or my mother-in-law or your
mother-in-law? Oh, no. In our house, it's just as simple as if I don't have the knowledge, if it impacts me enough, I will get the knowledge and I will debate it. If it's something that doesn't impact me, I'm happy for him to take the decision. So it's about how much I want to have a say. And I think likewise the same way.
I think I can actually recall an incident where the thing Shaila was involved in that, I think so. We had an issue at home.
Job is twice.
We had an issue at home and my boy was not doing too well in his X-ray and imaging course. And I told my wife, you know, it's time to call people from outside and take an opinion, you know. And she was like, no, I don't want to tell anybody about it. So she got actually quite angry and she started hammering my son every day, you know. And I said, no, this is not right. So we need to go outside and ask the experts about this X-ray and imaging course and how it is done. And I think we took help of Shaila. Shaila kind of had a talk with Jaden and a few other people, and that's how we sorted it out, because both we were against each other. I mean, I was working against my wife and she was working against me and she was hassling my boy too much. Yeah. So, yeah, sometimes you have to call in a referee. Yeah.
Oh, so that's interesting. That's very interesting. So,
I had no idea of the context behind that conversation, but
Jaden,
I did spend some time with Jaden. Yes.
So it's very interesting that, you know, I mean, it also talks about the family relationship, how to bond as a family and how to live very, you know, peacefully rather than live in
call in a mediator or a knowledgeable person.
So it's very interesting. My view on this whole aspect is that, yes, as what you say, it has to be collaborative, but I would differ with you, Hector, on the aspect of money that the woman is today participatory. What I find is even women who did not have the money, like if you remember when there was demonetization that took place in India, the maximum amount of money that was there was with the woman. They saved. So they are quite intelligent in many ways. And, you know, some of the decisions of educating their children, like my mother, though she herself did not go to higher levels in school, but she used to teach my brother. So I think this whole idea that the woman is not educated, not working, and therefore does not have the knowledge or the, but she has the intelligence and the wisdom. I think that's the aspect, I think, which I would say it is immaterial whether it's a man or a woman. But I would say that they both have their own experiences. They both have their wisdom. And so that wisdom should be fully optimized.
But you have to identify who has the expertise in the house. Either it's the husband or the wife or both. Or you have to call in for somebody else from outside.
Oh, yes. We will leave that to Anja Sarkin Chedu. And, you know, enjoy that song and carry on the conversation outside. So thank you, Jervis, for your time today.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Shaila. Thank you, Hector. Next Saturday, we will have a recording, but we'll try to get somebody to be on that recording. So enjoy your long weekend next Saturday.
Matariki.
Yeah, wishing everybody a happy Matariki.
And thanks for tuning in.